Pull up a seat and listen to our fable. We welcome all who sit at our table. Let's enjoy our caffeinated delight, for we are all monsters on the darkest of nights.
All right, hello monsters. Welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. I'm your host, Faith. And today we've got a new guest attending today, Luna Wolf. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Luna Wolf. I'm a DP and cinematographer, and really, really happy to be here.
Yeah, I've been sitting down and having a bit of a gum flap for about 25 minutes now. I was like, I really need to put the cord on.
No, that's cool. I don't mind. It was a good chat.
Oh, it's nice to get a warm up and just see how people react to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely like that whenever I interview people. It kind of breaks the ice. Better than a polar bear. Okay, I've done it. I've done it now. Sorry.
Again with one-liners. So what do you do? Talk about Disturbia Films and whatnot.
Yeah, so Disturbia Films came about around 2014. Mostly I was just kind of experimenting with the idea of moving into movies and things, because literally that's all I've ever wanted to do my entire life. But I didn't understand what part of movies I wanted to be involved with. So I don't know. I guess I just kind of felt my way through it. I came from a graphic design background already, so that kind of like moved more of the like visuals into Serbia Films came about 2014, and I was like dipping in and out of the idea of making my own movies. While I was doing that, I was getting involved with productions such as with the Myco crew. Slasher House 2, I believe, was my first one with them. That went really well.
I watched that last night. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was a really interesting thing, because I don't think I ever really wanted to be an actress. I don't know what possessed me to apply for it, but I thought it was a really cool project. And so I did. Most of it's history from there in terms of that movie. And then I just went on and did a few smaller like projects with the Myco crew, which has been truly amazing. Going off on my little ADHD rants right now. Yeah. And then I think I was just like getting to the point where the whole world was coming to an end, and I was like, right, what do I really want to actually be doing with my life? And so I just started looking at it, and I just started really meditating on it. That was something that I never really started, never really did in my life either, was meditation. But I did. And I was like, maybe I want to be a stunt woman. Huh. All right, yeah, let's give this a go. So I went and joined the ranks of the British Action Academy, and I went and did a load of fight courses with them, passed. And then I did a load of rally courses, driving, passed that too. Apparently I'm really good at driving, especially backwards.
Good.
But I got to the point where I was just like, okay, I'm in London now. What really do I need to actually get into the film industry like as an actual professional, rather than just tripping over my shoelaces with a camera and kind of feeling my way through it. And I came to the realization that film school would be the thing. So I went and applied for the VFS, which is the Vancouver Film School. They were amazing. It was a grueling application process, and my good friend Jan, she helped me through it. She helped me through it a lot. Her and her sister has actually been here throughout the entire process, and I'm so, so grateful, because I don't think I even would have gotten into the school if they hadn't have been here cheering me on and giving me little tips and pointers as to how to put my stuff together. And then again, the rest is history. Like, I moved to Canada, and now I'm in Vancouver, and I'm going to be starting my course here in August, at the end of August. And even though I've got professional level experience now, there's been quite a large time in between Sorry, I'm very high on coffee right now.
You're on the right podcast for that, then.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so anyway, there was a space in between me starting up Serbia Films and applying for the BFS. So in that short space of time, 6 years, 7 years, it's not really that short, is it?
It's not what you think about it.
No, time flies when you're having fun. I basically got my hands on any camera I could, if that makes any sense. And I worked my butt off with various other different jobs. And I just had it in mind that I was going to focus on something that was really interesting to me. Strangely enough, it was cameras. So since I was 12, I've been taking stills cameras. And then obviously I moved into video. And every single day, like, I pick up a camera and I'm like, right, okay, what can I do with this? And then it just kind of builds your experience. So where the VFS comes in is I want to learn how the industry works over here rather than how the industry works over in London. I want to learn how to hold a camera. I want to learn how to do all the shots the way that it's supposed to on set. Just basically fill in all of the gaps that I have in my knowledge when it comes to the actual business itself. If that makes any sense. So yeah, that's me. Yeah. That's me. That's what I do. I mean, I've got various other different avenues of creativity, such as like clip stores and things that I sell stock footage for other people's. Do you know what shoe leather is? Do you know the term shoe leather?
Okay, no, so I heard that.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I hadn't heard this before. Jen told me about it actually. Shoe leather is the stock footage in between the actual shots. So that's yeah, right? So apparently there's a market for it. So I've gone off and I've started to do like stock footage and different bits like that. So that's another little avenue of me going, oh, okay, right, I'm going to practice my shots. But I can also then get something out of it. I can then put it up on a website and sell it for other people's movies. So that's another little thing that I do.
Okay, so it's kind of like photo stock for filmmakers.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. So you can do it on Shutterstock. There's also, I think you can do video clips on Getty as well. But yeah, it is like photo stock, but video. Yeah.
Term actually does make sense because it kind of holds the important bits together.
Yeah, it really does. And what I'm learning, especially after I've been filming a most recent project for Myco, these little bits of shoe leather really help to drive the story. I recently did a storyboarding course at the VFS just because I was bored. And actually, it was extremely fulfilling when it came to knowledge. I just thought it was just something to do on a Monday night, you know. But I was pleasantly surprised to the point where I can now storyboard, not just for movies, I can storyboard for comic books as well. What I learned from that was how to drive a story, when to put in a close, when to put in a wide, what that means, how to put in shoe leather and things like that. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Sounds really cool.
I would recommend it to anybody who wants to get into film. Definitely. It's amazing how much actually, especially these short online courses. I mean, I can't vouch for the VFS just yet because I haven't even started. But the fact that this short course at the VFS gave me so much knowledge and information as to how storyboards are put together, how a DP would work with a director, how, say, for instance, a writer would then work with an artist for a comic or something like that, and how stories are told through visual images. It's truly beautiful, and I'm extremely excited to do more for this.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of your future projects after you've
thank you so much knowledge. Well,
I was just gonna say, the even on IMDb, some of the credits you've got on there, like stunts, acting roles, producer, director, editor, makeup department, cinematographer, and you did an interview as yourself on Blood on the Reel, which I did actually watch as well.
Oh, cool. That's wicked. Thank you. I do have quite a lot of IMDb credit. Maybe I should just like big myself up more. Maybe I'm far too humble for myself. I have been involved in quite a few really exciting projects in my lifetime. I mean, where am I even going with this question? did you see that I had a couple of shorts on there as well?
I think it says a couple of shorts on there.
Yeah. So basically, the first movie I actually made from start to finish on my own was Critical Perfection. And
cinematographer for that one, Harvest. Yes. Short makeup, thinning veil makeup as well.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. The thinning veil was fun. What was it now? It's Halloween time. And I just didn't have anything going on, and they needed a little hand. Or not even needed. I'm sure they just wanted a little hand because they're very, very capable on their own. And I just went and helped them out for that one. And it turned out to be an absolute hit. Being on set with Maiko was so much fun. And doing the makeup for it as well kind of stretched my little makeup paws into being able to do something I wouldn't have ordinarily have done, and I was quite happy with that. Very happy with the results as well.
It's good when that happens, when you actually do something that's a little bit out of your, something a little bit like what was it, left of field, and then you're kind of like, you know what, it didn't turn out that bad.
Yeah. And this one turned out pretty epic. It was nice. But I think ultimately, in terms of what I really want to be doing, is I've kind of narrowed it down now. After doing The Thinning Veil, being on set with those guys, being on set with Slasher House 2, and then putting myself onto set as a director as well for Critical Perfection, it kind of made me realize kind of where I want to be in terms of where I want to place myself on set. And I found out that even though I'm a pretty excitable storyteller when it comes to my own ideas, I find myself getting overly excited about being a DP and an editor and being as like, yeah, fair enough. I said, I spoke about stunts before, but I actually had a pretty scary injury in one of the last courses that I did that basically made me realize that I'm not getting any younger, and I want to kind of solidify my longevity in the industry to the point where I can still walk.
Yes, it would be good to actually just maintain the function of your legs.
Yeah, it was pretty scary in terms of that. So what I decided that I wanted to do was a stunt camera. Obviously, I'm going to still be doing like the bar brawls and the fighting side of things and the driving when it comes to stunts. But I think where my real passion lies is stunt camera, DP and camera work, as well as editing. Yeah, I don't know. I just get a little tingle when I think of that. Also, I'm not in a wheelchair.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when you said that the scene with Slasher House 2 when you the fight with Molly Bannister.
Well,
when the Amber character was like, "Are you okay?" and you just go, "I just stabbed a disabled girl in the head with a sword." I'm just there like, "Oh no!" Taking that context, that's pretty bad.
I mean, she could have been fine, you know, like. The sword might have missed. I don't know. Red might have missed completely. We just don't know. I wasn't looking. I was too busy trying to get dolls off me.
Yeah, dolls are creepy. I don't blame you. I'd be more concerned about the dolls.
Were creepy. The dolls were creepy, but also they were really hard to act with because, like, they were just dolls, and there was an awful lot of pretending that they were real type thing, and. At the time, I hadn't even done mocap acting, and like now I've gone through and actually done all the training for mocap acting. Now I understand that acting with an object is a million times harder than acting with something that's actually alive. That was a real eye-opening moment, especially when we were filming Slasher House 2, because at the time I hadn't had too much experience in that kind of area. So yeah, I look back on that now and I cringe, even though it's still a really good movie. I'm just like, oh boy, oh, I know I can do so much better than that.
So when you look back at it, like, oh, oh no.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's funny because, like, back then, like I say, I didn't really know what I wanted to do in terms of acting or whether or not I even wanted to act now. And I think coming out of all of the mocap training that I have, you know what mocap is? Sorry.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
know.
Cool. It's just sometimes people are like, you fucking what? Excuse me, mocap, what's that?
Anyway. I like looking at like special features and like the making of films and games as well. It's interesting watching people doing mocap, and it's like, that's actually quite,
yeah,
it's impressive.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I never realized just how hard it would be when I went into the classes, and I was just like, oh, okay, right, now I need to actually step up and do something. Oh, this is exciting. Yeah, I'm one of those type of people. If I'm not being challenged, I get bored very easily, I think. But yeah, now, coming out of the mocap classes, even if I don't ever actually do mocap itself, it's given me the tools to be able to play monsters better. And you know what? That's something that I really, I quite fancy doing. I quite fancy being that, like, creature in the back corner of some room that's, like, not being concentrated on, that, like, crawls up the side of the wall and screams bloody murder, you know?
Like a grudge girl just crawling up the wall like a spider monkey.
Basically that, yes. I want to be strange, unusual, and extremely scary. I don't fancy the vanity claws for me, thank you very much. Cover me in blood and set me on my way.
I spent a second before you said you were going to say set me on fire. I was like, bloody hell, what kind of stunt work have you been doing?
I mean, you know, set me on fire as well. I'm a fire breather after all. You might as well go the full hog.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm also a fire breather.
Along with all the scroll worth of credits on IMDb, you're also a fire breather.
Yeah, just, you know, slide that in there a little bit. No, I did an extremely lovely course with Sarah, Red Sarah from the fire school in London, and she's amazing to the point where I learned how to fire breathe, and I learned how to body burn, and I learned how to do all the things that are all safety involved, you know, so that I don't burn myself. And yeah, it was fun. I recommend it to literally anybody who fancies getting into that kind of thing.
It does look interesting. I did look at the UK standards for stunt work and how to be trained up for it, and I was like, wow, you need to learn a lot of like fighting styles. I can understand like the health and safety aspects of it as well, given that really one move and you're gonna break something, or
I found that one out the hard way. I was I was in the course, and so basically the scenario was, there's a moving train, okay, and I'm on a roof, and there's a wall that I have to jump over to get to the train, but I can't jump on the wall because that's made out of cardboard boxes, so I can't hoist myself up by stepping onto this wall. I have to jump clear over the wall and onto the moving train. Anyway, calculations were miscalculated, and I ended up landing on it wrong and almost breaking my back. And
oh shit.
Yeah, it was tough. But what it did was it gave me an appreciation that if something does go wrong, it can go very wrong. I'm lucky that it didn't go very, very wrong. But what I would say to anyone who wants to go into the stunt industry, start young. Like, start young, train every day, and take it seriously, because it is one of the hardest industries to get into, I think, because you have to have, like, what is it, 9 different majors or something for the stunt register. One of them's martial art, black belt. Second down or something, then you got to have like gymnastics, and then you've just literally got to be an actual superhuman. And I think that's another reason why I was just like, okay, cool, well, I know how to fight and I know how to react, so bar brawling and basic type fights will be fine for me, and also driving as well, because I'm pretty confident with driving. But anything anything else, just let the professionals do it, because they've been doing it their entire lives and they've been training together their entire lives. And yeah, I don't know. I just get really scared when an actress turns around now and says, oh yeah, I can do all my own stunts. And I'm like, can you though?
How many injuries have you managed to get through doing your own stunts?
And just that one so far. I mean, bruises don't count, right? So
I'd say they count. Like, if they're like big ones, they can really hurt.
Do they? Okay, well, hundreds then.
Oh, Lord.
But honestly, I haven't really been cast so much for major type stunts. Like, the stunts that were listed are like fighting stunts and falling. Yeah. There's no way that you can really explain how bigger stunts are done without having a complete stunt crew there and whatnot. So yeah, bruises. Bruises are the ones that I've got.
I'll admit, people that work as like stunt coordinators and just stunt people in general just don't, I feel that they're really underappreciated given the amount they have to do.
Yeah, I agree. Stunt coordinators have been in the industry pretty much their entire lives as stunt performers. Honestly, like, it's really opened my eyes as to how many people I would actually trust as my stunt coordinator. And currently there is only one person. No, two people. There's only two people that I would trust to be my stunt coordinator. And if I walked on set expecting to do a fight, for instance, and I didn't know that person, I'd walk straight off. If without a referral or someone to vouch for that person, I would walk straight off, because the amount of people who now turn around and say, well, yeah, I'm a stunt coordinator, and they don't understand what that means. They think it's a cool thing. Yeah, no. I want to see insurance documents and I want to see references.
Good for you. Good for you for actually going, yeah. You know what, I want to see proof that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly, because it's my life on the line. When you say stunt, it means actual danger. So, yeah.
There's been so many instances where, like, stunt people have been injured, but people forget that who the stunt person was.
Yeah.
Like the Harry Potter film, like, someone became, like, couldn't... Off a like, really bad accident on set, they couldn't feel anything from like the neck down, I think.
Yeah, that does that actually happens an awful lot, would you believe?
I can believe that, sadly.
Yeah, one of the guys who I was training with on the British Action Academy thing, he was one of the instructors. He was actually the owner of the company. He had a ramrod type jump thing. I can't remember what they're called. ADHD, sorry. I know what, you know, the platform that they stand on, and it has air that's pumped through it, and he fires him up into the air.
Oh yeah, I know what one you're on about.
Yeah, they mistimed it and he landed wrong and he couldn't feel anything from the waist down, and that production apparently was resetting, ready to go again, and he still couldn't feel his legs. Yeah.
Christ. I know in one of the first Resident Evil film, the one with Mila Jovovich.
Yep.
The scene where they're like going above the zombies in the hallway, like on the like raised platform, maybe, almost like a metal grate.
Yeah.
The Alice character is meant to do the stunt where she like jumps from like one platform to another, but the director said, yeah, we can't let you do that for insurance purposes, because what if a cable like snaps and wraps around your neck? So they just got a stunt person to do it instead. Luckily, nothing happened to them, but it's just that fear of what if that had happened to the stunt person on set.
Yeah, absolutely. And this happens an awful lot. I don't know whether or not you heard about the series having an accident that actually lost the stunt woman's arm.
No, I don't think I know about this one. It's not the film with Alec Baldwin, is it?
No.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. No, that's still being investigated, I think.
Yeah, we don't talk about that one. No, the lady's name is Olivia Jackson, and she was a stunt performer on the Resident Evil series, and she actually lost her arm doing a motorcycle stunt.
Oh shit.
Yep. You could it's all over the internet. You can basically type it in and read the story for yourself. But that is literally another, it's another example as to how stunts can go wrong and how careful people need to be. And this is a literal, like, this is one of the big stories that actually made me go, do you know what, maybe I don't want to be a stunt woman to that extent, especially as, you know, I'm still not in a physical shape where I feel comfortable doing certain things. So, yeah, be careful, people. Don't just say that you're fight trained if you're not. This woman is definitely stunt trained. Just as a disclaimer, she is a stunt woman, a professional one. But what I'm saying is those people who are in smaller productions, who especially independent ones, who then turn around and say, yeah, I'm stunt trained, and they're not, gets my back up a little bit.
Yeah, when people, if I think about someone doing that, the first mental image that comes to mind is literally, oh, you're not going to last long, are you, dear?
Yeah, I just I just think at the end of the day, no matter what you want to do in life, as long as you're into it and it makes you happy, put in the effort. It doesn't cost anything apart from time and dedication, mostly. I say mostly because, yeah, you do need to, if you're going to go and do like your black Dan, your black belt in karate, second Dan or something, then yeah, you're going to need to spend money on that because you need to do it every week or even twice a week. And then you go and do something, you know, with that. But what I'm saying is time and dedication is the first thing. And if you're not into it and it doesn't excite you, don't do it. Because somebody else will get excited over it and they deserve that chance.
Make sure that people that want to actually have the correct credentials and experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, insert inappropriate flex right there.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, that's enough about me and my feelings on the stunt world.
So, I mean, there's some things in like the film industry that do make me kind of go, oh my God, I'd rather just fix this one issue, please. Like, why is this still a problem?
Yeah, no. There is so much cool stuff in the film industry that many, many people can get into and not have to put their lives in danger and not have to put so much physical effort in. I mean, like, writers, for instance. This is a thing that I've noticed recently, actually. A lot of the movies that I loved in the past, they're bringing out a new movie and I'm watching it and I'm going, is this movie for real? Like, what just happened? What did I just watch? Was that like the uncut, like unpolished, unacted proof of concept that was 3 hours long that was the Batman?
Oh, God.
I don't know if you've seen the Batman yet, but don't. No.
Okay.
Okay, so have you seen any of the Batmans?
Yes, I've seen most of them. The only one I haven't seen is the most recent one.
So overall, like, when you think of the Batman, I mean, when I think of the Batman, I'm like, okay, cool. This is a cool superhero movie about a brooding billionaire that spends all his time working out and being kind of like this overspending weird person during the day. But the movie itself is generally going to have a lot of action in it, a lot of explosions, cool motorcycles, cool like vehicles and stuff, right? You get that? You get that from the Batman, right? Okay, so we watched the new Batman recently. It was 3 hours long. It was awful.
I didn't realize it was 3 hours. Oh God.
It was 3 hours long, right? What's his face? Oh, sparkly bollocks over there. What's his name? Rob.
Robert. I love that.
Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, right? This dude decides that he wants to be the Batman, right? I think he gets paid like $3 million for this movie. The overall budget's about $200 million. Okay. Yeah. Now, bearing in mind the most ultimate Batman movie, Batman Returns by Tim Burton, was only made with around 80 million. Okay. The movie starts off and I'm like, all right, cool. It's all right. Some shots here is what's going on here. And then I start to realize the shots have been edited afterwards to make it look like kind of really sort of fantasy. like the depth of field and the blurriness of it has all been like added in afterwards. It wasn't in camera, so it all looks a little bit weird. So things are out of focus when they shouldn't be, and things are in focus, and it's all over the place anyway. And so I'm like, all right, well, cool. That's an interesting way of doing things. It's all right. I guess I could get used to that. And then the entire movie is just Robert Pattinson basically doing everything that he did when he was sparkly, but with less emotion, right? And he's just walking around, allowing the coppers to like talk to him and touch him and be all weird, and not in a pornographic way. This is supposed to be a real movie, I think. And then the subplots, right? Sorry, I'm really slating into this now. So the Catwoman story basically goes back and it tries to follow the storyline of her sister's keeper. I don't know if you've ever read that Catwoman comic. Very special person got me onto that back when I was in Epping all by myself. And actually, I really, really loved it because she was seen as a sex worker. She was a dominatrix, and she was just basically over it when it came to men. So they tried to put that subplot in. They failed miserably. They had somebody living with her, and all of a sudden that person like dies. She doesn't care. She's too busy trying to fuck with the Batman. And for the costume of the Catwoman, like when you think of Batman Returns, you think of Michelle Pfeiffer in all of that PVC with a sassy attitude, and she's like, "I don't care," kind of thing.
I love that.
Right? And I'm giving away spoilers here, but I don't care because I really don't think you should watch this movie.
So I'm going to ruin it for you.
what they've done is they've got this sock, you know, those balaclava socks that like robbers wear. Yeah. They've got one of those and they've cut it in half and they've stuck that on her head. And I'm just like looking at it going, right, okay, so there's no decent shots. There's no decent storyline. The Batman is a pussy and Catwoman is not even Catwoman. She's just a wet tile, just trying to run around in a suit, trying to make herself feel better. And I'm just like, by the end of it, I thought Morbius was a better movie than The Batman.
Oh, that's a harsh one, that is.
I know, but at least Morbius just had something to it. I mean, not much more. And I'd probably give Morbius a 1 out of 10 on that one. But The Batman, I don't even know, because they didn't even get like a motorcycle sponsorship. There's motorcycle scenes in The Batman. There's no logos shown. It doesn't even look like The Batman is driving it. I heard that Robert Pattinson's stunt double had to double him more than was required because he didn't work out or prepare for this role at all. He just walked on set and just did whatever the fuck he wanted to. Sorry. Okay, I'm gonna stop now. I'm gonna stop slating The Batman. Just don't watch it.
God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. And I think what my point was, sorry, I went off on a tangent. What my point was like, we need writers in the industry now. We need storylines that aren't gonna just make me cry because they're so awful and bland.
Kind of reminds me of Geostorm. I watched that recently with my partner. We love watching like really shitty disaster
Butler
movie. Yes.
Yeah.
And oh my god, it was like a high budget shit disaster movie. I mean,
yeah,
if it's like,
right?
if it's like a low budget one, it's actually fun. You can laugh
right
at it, but this, it was just kind of like, it was like bland. It was kind of like, try to eat like vegan cheese without realizing it's vegan until you take a bite out of it. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and that's I would say Geostorm is 10 times better than The Batman.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Terrible. But it's not just that. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Did you see that?
Oh, don't. Please, no. I'll admit,
the new one
was
the
best
one
part. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. The bus scene was the best part.
Sally deserved better.
Honestly, I think all of those kids actually deserve to get killed because of what they did in the beginning of the movie. I'm not going to give it away, but the bus scene was the best scene of the movie, and I think the rest of it could have been just cut and left on the cutting room floor. It was a terrible movie, and I was just like, what is going on with our franchises nowadays? Next, they'll be bringing out a Jason movie without, like, Jason or his mum, you know?
There is actually a Friday the 13th film with neither of those characters in it.
I think I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah. It was literally, okay. I think it was...
Take it back. Don't get into the film industry. Don't do it.
It's either the third or the fourth one. But yet, don't find out until, like, the end that it's not actually Jason. It's someone pretending to be him.
Oh, a copycat. It's the same as this new Scream movie. Did you see the new Scream movie that came out?
I want to watch it because...
No, don't bother.
Oh, oh God, okay.
I'm not even joking. It was terrible. It was very dewy down. It was so dewy down that I was just like, oh man, I'm not going to watch the next one. I'm really out. And this is the reason why I think Neve Campbell was out, because she said that she wasn't going to do another Scream. And do you know what? I agree. The franchise is going to give her a bad name.
Yeah, I do feel that Scream had its time.
Yeah, it has, definitely. But I tell you what, there was one movie that I was absolutely presently surprised with, to the point where I would actually go on a limb and say, I am going to buy this movie rather than just rent it, because I've been renting movies recently. Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to end up with all these movies that are really shit. Was the new Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yes. Is that the Afterlife?
Yep. I absolutely loved it. The story was followable and it wasn't like too complicated or anything. It was very appealing for my brain and how I like things to move along. The pace of it was great. The graphics were great. The acting was great. Everything, literally everything in it was almost, if not definitely, a perfect movie, especially if you're a fan of the original Ghostbusters. I loved that movie. So it's not bad.
I'm going to have to watch this one then. Because I was a little bit funny about it. Because I was like, they tried to reboot it and I just...
They did it perfectly. They did it perfectly to the point I was even crying at the end of it.
God. Okay, well, I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to watch it at some point.
Nice. Thank you. So yeah, there are things in the pipelines that I do know that are decent movies coming out. A couple of my friends have got some pretty awesome projects coming out, and I've almost just finished closing on the final edit of my most recent movie as well. So there are stuff to look forward to in the film industry. Sorry about slating the movie industry.
I don't mind. I know there's just some things that need to be sorted out. It seems to be a big problem where it's kind of like, if you have enough money, you can throw it at the problem and hope that no one sees it. And it's just kind of like, you're sugarcoating something that is dead obvious, but you can't but the filmmakers can't see it. That's the issue. And it's just kind of like, you need a no person. You need someone to stand behind you with a stick and just go, no.
Yeah, I agree. It's exactly what happened with the Batman. I'm not even joking. I don't even know what they spent $200 million on. Like I said, there was no sponsorship from a motorcycle thing, so they didn't spend on that. Robert Pattinson only got like $2-3 million off of that. I honestly cannot tell you. I could even me at my level could make a movie that was better than that movie on less than $1 million. It was so. I know it's a big boast. I know that's a big boast, but like honestly, it was so bad. Sorry, I'm butthurt.
I like the Batman.
You know, like Batman is great, especially the Returns one with Michelle Pfeiffer in it. That's a classic. Yeah, I'm a butthurt fan. Sorry, I'm just gonna pout for a moment.
Okay. I mean, I felt a bit like that. I mean, I love the trilogy of like the first three Scream movies. The fourth one I need to rewatch because it's kind of like, I think because the first time I saw it, I was having like a nostalgia moment, and then I put the film and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So I think I need to rewatch it and just see it with new eyes and just see how I get on with it, and then see the fifth one just to see how we get on.
I think you're a very brave individual. At this point, I would definitely give up on the Batman. I'd sooner watch Morbius again. Yeah. I'm not saying something. You know, they returned Morbius to the cinemas here in Vancouver.
Oh, and God.
It cost them more to put it back in the cinema than they earned from it being in the cinema.
I can hear tears in that laughter.
Yeah, it hurts. No, for real though, I am looking forward to this year when it comes to movies. Like I say, new projects are coming up all the time.
I'm looking forward to stalking them online because I've got Plex, Amazon Prime and Netflix.
Oh, there's a lot of really cool things coming out on Crave as well, like series. I don't know if you're into Nicole Kidman, but Nine Perfect Strangers on Netflix was awesome.
I haven't heard that one. I mean, I've recently finished, I think it was either 2 or 3 of Slasher on Netflix. I need to get into the next season because it's just kind of, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to actually see is that an anthology? No, not quite. It's watching like a TV show with a serial killer in it and kind of going, you know what, this is actually decent for what it is.
Can't remember what it was we were watching recently. There's so many things that we're trying. I think we're on the serial killer documentaries now at the moment because there's just nothing to watch. We ended up binging Hunter Hunter. I think it was on Netflix, and I think it was like 600 episodes of this amazing anime. But then when that ended, we were just like, oh, now what? Oh, dear.
So, what is my life?
Yeah. What is the meaning of my life now that we've finished this series? But I should probably just get on with some more work.
I felt like that after, what did I watch? Farscape.
Farscape was good.
Oh, I loved it. We watched the films that it did as like a small continuation from the TV show because it got cancelled. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
But me and the missus just sat down and watched all of it and we were like, what are we going to do now?
Definitely get yourselves into Hunter x Hunter if you like anime. It's brutal. It's not for kids.
I hate going into like shops and seeing manga in the children's section and I'm like, no, please stop. Why is this here?
Yeah. It's something, unfortunately, we're just going to have to look over. I'm just going to go, it's not my monkeys, not my circus.
But in terms of future projects, what have you got in the pipeline? Because I've seen recently on your Instagram that you've recently worked with the Suska sisters, who I absolutely adore.
they'll be really happy to hear that. I'll pass on that message. Where do I start? Okay, so I'm just closing on a project right now. It's called Scorpio. It's an anthology for horoscopes, which is a Myco production. Back last year, I was invited to be part of this. And basically what it is we've got, I think, 12, 13 directors. Pretty sure it's 12 because, 12 zodiacs, that would make sense. Can't count. Math is not my strong point. we've been invited.
Sugar's
to do...
kicking in from your coffee.
Yeah, I'm still shaking.
God.
I'm just going to go and have another one.
So I just hear you like shake across the room. You're not even walking to the counter, you're just shaking to it.
Yeah, I'll go for an elongated patrol around the block later just to get that out of my system. But yeah, we were given. All of the zodiac were put in a hat. And we were basically chosen to be drawn out of this hat on Zoom, live on Facebook. And I luckily ended up with Scorpio because, hey, Scorpios are the best. And so the rules of engagement were around 6 minutes long, no longer than 7, for a mini movie that's a horror movie predominantly, based in the time of the year that your zodiac was. So mine basically was around sort of Halloween time, early November time, which was great as well. Yeah, it was the best time. And so I was newly moved to Canada and I didn't really know anybody other than these lovely ladies who basically said that they would help me. So after a little bit of discussion, they agreed to be part of my movie and they star in it, as well as they helped me out with a few other bits and pieces like dressing the set, etc., and audio and stuff. And yeah, the story is basically it's a revenge story. I don't really want to go too much into it, but the killer killed somebody very close to this lady, and she basically is out for revenge. And how she is out for revenge is kind of scientific. She breaks into this kind of like a beauty lab, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Because apparently scorpion venom is now used for beauty products, according to Kate Beckinsale. So I was like, all right, well, I can use this.
Something like that would be available from the elite. Of course it would be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's extremely expensive. It's actually more valuable than gold, would you believe?
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And so she uses this scorpion venom thing to get her own back on this serial killer. But, I mean, does she? Does she really get her own back? Anyway, I'll leave it to the audience to be so that they can watch it rather than give away any secrets. But yeah, I filmed it around the time of Halloween, pretty much. And I shot it, directed it, and edited it. And the ladies starred in it, and they did their own fight sequence, which was extremely fun to watch because seeing somebody else's process in such a thing. These two are just more talented than anybody can actually conceive unless they've worked with them. And even though this was a no-budget mini-movie, just watching them was inspiring. It was so good. And then we attached a very awesome composer. His name is Kevy. I like to call him Dr. Kevy because he's pretty awesome. To do the score for it. And like I say, I'm almost ready to finish it off and send it, even though I'm one of the last ones. Oops. But I'm really proud of it.
A perfectionist.
Yeah, a perfectionist. I know my next movie is going to be even better because, hey, you know, I think every artist always criticizes their own work. But I have to say, I'm pretty fucking proud of what we've accomplished with such a small, like, a small budget. Well, a zero budget, and such. Yeah, crazy life at the moment because moving over seas is not a small feat, and I have to admit I didn't expect there to be quite so many hoops to jump through. So having to juggle that and also making a movie, albeit a mini movie, yeah, I feel pretty good.
Looking forward to watching it. So it's kind of like, I love watching anthology films and seeing how people can make like a storyline fit into like a small segment, and yeah, watching it play out. And like, so it's like it's trying to tell like a full length story within like the confines of like 10 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've managed to get mine down to 6 minutes and 45 seconds.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to watch that because that'd be impressive.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm not entirely sure when it'll be out. I think people will have to follow the Myco crew for that one. But yeah, it's exciting to say the least.
What other projects have you got in the works then? Or like, what have you sort of like thinking about dabbling with?
Well, it's funny you should say that actually, because my storyboarding course last month really kind of got my fingers into the idea of doing a comic. I can't say too much on this storyline, but I am laying out a couple of the books right now, and it's going to be brutal, it's going to be bloody, and it's going to be extremely satisfying to those people who want justice over certain evil people in this world. That's all I can say. Oh, I just want to share it all, but I can't.
Blood, gore and justice. That's all I need to know.
Blood, gore and justice. And diversity as well, because I've got a lot of LGBTQ+2x. Oh, damn it. Sorry. I can't keep up with this. I mean...
It's not adding to it, and it's just like, oh my God.
I mean, I've I've been a lesbian since I can remember. But yeah, sorry guys who's listening, you're just gonna have to forgive me. I'm just gonna call it diverse.
In all honesty, I didn't know you were gay.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Most people say that. Yeah.
I'm in the same boat, so.
Oh. Yeah, it's not something I shout about because I don't feel the need to, but I'm very, very pro being whoever the hell you want to be and that's okay type person. I'm just like, nah, one day I want to go down and wear a suit and everybody should call me sir, and the next day then I'll be addressed as Your Royal Highness. Thank you very much.
Be what you want to be, just don't be a dick.
Absolutely, be your fabulous self, as long as you're not hurting anybody, who cares, right?
Actually, my mum said that after it came out.
Oh yeah, my mum literally went, yeah, I know, your brother let me know a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, thanks.
Thanks, but I'm just gonna go upstairs and punch him now.
No, that was actually really easy. It was really great because it just took all the pressure off. And I know that a lot of the time, like, people are like, oh yeah, it's my secret, whatever, but I was actually really grateful that my brother outed me to my family, because it didn't feel stressful when I did it. It kind of prepared them to give me the correct answers to what I was trying to say, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, when I came out to my mum, she literally just looked me dead in the eye and said, so, we knew you were at least bi. And I said, oh, God, okay.
Well, the next question would have been, oh, what gave it away?
I think I know what gave it away.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when it came to my dad, it was a bit more, it was a funnier situation when it came out to my dad. I didn't actually say anything, so.
Oh, well, there you go. That was easy.
Embarrassing, but easy. But yeah, it's nice to see that there's more diversity with, like, LGBTQ plus community, in terms of, like, the horror spectrum. Like, there's, like, actual queer horror. There's horror, queer characters and, like, actual horror films that don't get killed off. And it's things like that.
You know what? This has been something that I've been talking a lot about in the past, is the fact that as a lady who likes ladies, I was getting extremely frustrated at the fact that whenever there was a lady who liked ladies, who then her lady that she liked ladies, especially her back. Wow, that was a mouthful. In horror movies, in action movies, in comedy movies, in most movies, I can't think of very many movies where they have a happy ending. And that kind of stressed me out a little bit because, especially in my younger years, when I was coming out, I was looking for media and movies and stories that I could relate with. And most of those media, movies and stories had a really horrible ending for those couples. And it just got me really frustrated going through into my later 20s and beyond, that the whole situation on it didn't change. So one of the things that I am definitely adamant about is I'm going to have gay male relationships in my stories, and they are going to have happy endings, and I'm going to have female relationship stories, and they are going to have happy endings. I mean, I'm not going to tip the balance too far to one side and then just have, like, male-female relationships end badly. I'm just going to make sure that the balance is there, and then other people in our community as well actually have characters, longevity to relate to, if that makes any sense. I think the last time I watched a movie where it came out good in the end was The Handmaiden, and I don't know if you've seen that movie yet.
Handmaid's Tale, wasn't that a TV program?
It's not The Handmaiden's Tale, it's The Handmaiden, I believe. Let me just do a quick search on it just to be sure that the information I'm giving, Handmaiden, that is actually correct. It's Handmaiden is a 2006 South Korean erotic psychological thriller film directed by Park Chan-wook, and it is an incredible story. And honestly, if you're looking for something to watch with your missus, I would highly recommend it because it's quite satisfying. Just don't have any plans afterwards. That's all I can say.
I love films like that, because it's kind of, it was like when I watched, what was it? Yeah, Fear Street, and seeing those two actually having, so it's like an interracial lesbian couple, and seeing them two actually stay together at the end, and I'm just now like, yeah, finally, one of them didn't die.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And yeah, for the life of me, I can't think of another movie that has that same kind of yes moment. I mean, there's an artistic film called Room in Rome, and it is about these two ladies who kind of hook up for one night, and it's just an art piece that really, I mean, if you're into art pieces, it will make you happy eventually. There's a lot of like complex personality discovering there in the movie, but yeah, that's the only other movie I can think of that actually has a happy ending for women who are in like relationships or interested in each other. And I just think there's not enough of that around. And because, hey, lesbians deserve happiness too, right?
I mean, if you're interested, I do actually, when I first started doing this podcast with my first co-host, we did a special episode for Pride Month, and we talk about a lot of representation in that episode. And there's another episode with Clara Thorne where we talk about trans representation in horror.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking out your other podcasts and just catching up on the history of caffeinated monsters.
Yes, it's been for about nearly a year and a half now, so I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, it's very good. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Oh.
Keep up the good work.
I feel like I'm being graded.
Oh, sorry.
That's no, it's all right. It's nice. It's nice to actually sort of like have someone turn around and say, you know what, you're doing a good job. And it's just like, oh.
Well, you know, if we can't keep our grounds up for each other, then who the hell is going to do that, right? Exactly. We've all got to stick together. The queens of the horror industry, and the kings as well. Come on, we can't just keep it one-sided. We're all doing a great job.
Exactly. There does need to be like more representation in horror films. It's just, I can understand why some people would struggle with it though, to put it in certain situations, because I suppose if you're like a straight person and you don't really know that many gay people, trying to get that right chemistry on film, you're gonna have a bit of trouble with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole thing with the on-set stuff, though, I mean, if you're a good enough actor or actress, I believe that you should you should do just fine. Nothing should be a problem if you just put your noggin into the room and try and leave everything else at the door.
Exactly. Just don't have it be a horror version of Blue is the Warmest Colour, because that's just a bit much.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever actually seen that movie.
Oh, God. It's not bad, but it's just the famous scene. It took them about 3 or 4 days to record it, and let's just say they changed positions nearly every, like, 20 seconds.
Goodness me. Okay, that's one movie I'm not going to put on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it was originally a graphic novel. I actually read that before I watched the film, and I prefer the ending of the film compared to the ending of the graphic novel, because the novel, it had that stereotype of unfortunately one of them dies, and that peed me off when I saw that. And then I saw the film and I was like, you know what, if I kind of mash together the storyline from the graphic novel and the ending from the film and put those together, that would have worked perfectly.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think ultimately, though, if the story isn't... I always look for directors nowadays, Mick G. The guy who directed the original Charlie's Angels movies, if he has like a movie nowadays, I would always go, oh, maybe that's going to be a great movie, because the Charlie's Angels movies were insane. They were so good. They were fun. You could tell all the girls were having a good time on set and they were doing a lot of their own stunts and things, but in a safe and sane environment. I think that's going to be kind of how I go looking for movies nowadays, is who's directing.
Exactly, yeah. I feel the same way. There's certain directors that I kind of steer clear from I'm not going to name names because I think he's just had too much kind of limelight, but it just, the director of the original trilogy for Jeepers Creepers, like, he just should not be allowed to make films, but that's just my personal opinion.
I don't know who that is, so yeah, that's not going to be a problem for me to avoid.
I would say look into it, because it's for what he went to prison for and how long he went for, it's something doesn't add up. Let's just put it that way.
Goodness me, sounds like another Epstein case.
I don't know how to say it without saying it.
I'll go do my research.
yeah, do that, because it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I'm going to go on a rant, and I had a rant with Clara about this, about what he had done, and I don't want to do that on here, because I don't want to scare you off because of how annoyed it makes me.
Oh dear, sounds awful. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I found out about a lot of movies that don't make me very comfortable. But unfortunately, that's kind of where we are in the world. There's going to be a lot of that. So I think it's down to the individual as to whether or not they can stomach it.
Yeah. So for some people, I think it's some people can separate the art from the artist, but I feel that really there needs to be like a leniency. If person A did this and said like an appropriate amount of time, then yeah, fair play to him, let them go on with it. But if person B did X, Y, and Z and only spent like half the time they were meant to, incarcerated, and they're still working with certain groups, then it's kind of like, I don't feel safe watching these films because it's going to make me angry.
Yeah, I understand. I think ultimately, yeah. I don't really know where I stand on that, to be honest. I know that I won't watch certain movies because of certain things, but it's really hard to get a grasp on it unless we know for sure what's going on, if that makes any sense. And I think, it's like I say, it's just down to the individual whether or not they want to watch a movie or not. I can't say if or where what people should be doing, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to know where I stand on a conversation like that, really. Yeah, I know a lot of people have been told that certain people have done certain things and bits and pieces, but I also know that on a smaller level as well, it's all down to the individuals and the details as to what happened, because I know, like, for instance, the Johnny Depp case, a lot of people are still supporting Amber Heard, even though Johnny Depp won. It's just a case of perspective, I believe. I'm not saying that the guy from Jeepers Creepers is innocent, by the way. I'm just saying that I don't really stand too much on any fence.
Yeah, like, don't judge before you know all the details.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't judge before you know any of the details. And obviously, if you don't know the person personally, then it shouldn't really be your business, if that makes any sense. However, if it is proved by a court of law undoubtedly that somebody has done something, then I would definitely say make your decisions in line with your own beliefs.
Good bit of advice, that.
I'm not the sort of person to go, oh no, such and such is a horrible person just from word of mouth. No, I'm very much somebody who delves deeply into the details if it affects me and my life directly. If it doesn't affect me and my life directly, then I try my hardest not to get involved, because I've already got my own life to enjoy. And a lot of the time, I believe if you get stressed out by somebody else's life, then is your life really that worth living? Does that make sense? You got to live your life to the full and concentrate on you and your own.
Yeah, kind of like... don't let the personal decisions of other people cause you more misery.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of like the 5x5 rule. Is it going to matter in 5 minutes? Is it going to matter in 5 hours? Is it going to matter in 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months? Is it directly related to you and your life? Is it going to matter to you directly? And if so, then yeah, just make your decisions via that.
I've said something similar to someone close to me, but they know they're a bit of a people pleaser, And if they feel that they have to fix something, like, I kind of have to say to them, you know that you don't always, that you're not going to like everyone. So why should everyone like you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing to do, especially if you're a people pleaser, is just think to yourself, do I want people around me that like me serving them how I feel like I need to serve them? Or do I want people around me who love me and want to be around me just for being me? Because I used to be a people pleaser. What can I say? Most of us are guilty of it at some point in our lives. The moment I thought that to myself, and I was like, well, I might as well just be me, because there are 8 billion people on this planet now. I might as well just be me, the cool, calm, collected, just me version of me. And if people don't like that, then there are other people who will like that. So why not just relax? Just be yourself and just don't overstretch yourself, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. And someone very special to me said that to me and has been saying that to me for at least 2 years. You cannot pour from an empty cup. And honestly, if you have an empty cup, you're going to be tired. You're going to be stressed. You're not going to be thinking correctly. You're not going to be giving yourself the self-care that you need in order to give somebody else the best of you rather than the rest of you. And that really sunk in deep with me, to the point where I'm just like, I don't know, my life has completely changed since they said that to me. And that was a really important turning point in my life, because now I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm just going to create my own art, and I'm just going to see what happens. And it turned out actually that the people around me stayed, even in the darkest moments, they stayed.
Good. I'm glad none of them were dicks.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Amazing. It's amazing who you find in life when you suddenly start to love yourself to the point where you can go, right, this is what I'm looking for. This is where my boundaries are. This is where I need to be supported. And this is where I want to be supported. But this is also where I want to feel independent. And the right people will just take that and they'll go, right, I agree. And it's that simple. I love it.
Okay, so where can people find you?
Oh, right, cool. So mostly I'm on Instagram. It's _lunawolf_. You'll probably notice that I'm the only one there. apart from that, it's disturbiafilms.com, where you can see all the other links and everything to all of my other social medias. Hopefully there'll be some more updates on Scorpio coming out soon. But other than that, it's been really, really awesome to just chat for a bit.
Yeah, I like having sort of like a nice, like, chatty environment for people, because I find that people, if it's not structured, like if it doesn't have like a specific structure to it, then people tend to feel a bit more relaxed and kind of like, you know what? Yeah, let's talk about this. Let's branch off this and do, 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 do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very much in the same kind of boat whenever I interview as well. I'm just like, oh, let's just have a chat, see where it goes.
Have a chat and have a giggle.
See where it goes. If we go down any dark holes, we can cut that out later.
So you can find Caffeinated Monsters on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the Slasher app. It's also available to listen to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Casts. So you can always send us a message on any of the socials. We do have a link tree on our social medias as well. And if you're interested, if you pop onto the link tree, we do have an affiliate link for Ko-fi, some merch on there as well. And I have recently updated the Patreon page as well, so it's a little bit more user-friendly for people. But yeah, it's been nice chatting to you.
Thank you very much. It's been awesome chatting with you too.
It's all right. Hopefully we can do this again, or maybe we can have like another general chat, or we can
absolutely
do like
I'm down.
Or we can do like a What the Horror, or we can do like just anything really. Just nice talking to you.
Thank you so much. It was really nice talking to you.
How can you do this to me? This is hurting my soul. This is Megath.